Can you see me okay? Is it okay if I sign myself, or would you prefer to have her sign? Thanks. If it gets lousy, if it becomes lousy, let me know, and we'll just...
My name is Kim Lengert. I'm the pastor developer of Word of Life Deaf Lutheran Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm from the East. We sign cracker. maybe that's a Lancaster sign, I don't know. The workshop that I'm leading, really that I'm here for to provide information and then we can all discuss together, is about prayer and different things about prayer that we can get from the Bible and then use in our lives, outside of here, outside of this room. We have a few rules of communication before we begin anything. First is that if you would like to say something, to add anything, to talk, to disagree, whatever, that's fine. Don't feel that you need to be the perfect Lutheran. Just accept. And in your mind you're thinking, and you sit and just accept it all and don't think that at all. I'm used to that. I've had people stand up during my sermon and say, you're wrong.
During your sermon?
I've had it happen during a sermon. That does not happen often. It was a little bit embarrassing because the person was arguing with me not because of a theological difference, but because they said I lived in a different place. They said my address was wrong. And I told them, I think I know that. I pay for the house. I think I know where I live. I'm used to people having opinions or thoughts or something, you know, and it clicks. All of a sudden, for years, they've been... And then something happens, like, boom. And you need to get it out quick because you'll forget it again. And then... I can't remember. So feel free to interrupt or just jump in anytime. But we must respect each other, which means that we don't start talking until another person is finished. And if the interpreter is signing, we need to wait until she's finished before we start. If you would raise your hand to be recognized, then we know where to go, okay? Basically, that's the only rule. Everything else is up for grabs. Okay, if we begin with prayer. Okay, I'm going to ask you today and through the whole time that you come, that you decide to continue to come, not to bow your head. And there'll be reasons for that through the week. But if we look around, and if we see each other, if we can see what's happening, it adds a little bit different dimension to the prayer. So let us pray. Oh God, you have gathered us here together safely. Why? That we can learn more about you, our relationship with you, and our relationship with other people. Now, we ask that you open up our hearts, open up our eyes, open up our minds, that we can receive what is good, that we can learn how to separate the good and the bad, and that we can use all the information to make our lives more the same with your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The topic for today is praying, prayer, what is it? Does anyone have any ideas?
Communication with God.
Ah, first time. Okay. What kind of communication? I mean,
anything. Have good relationship with God. Anything.
Listening. Listening is very important. We tell God what we want and tell him lots of things, but we don't always listen. Mm-hmm.
this is the basis for all prayer. But there's different reasons, so listening. What else?
Asking for guidance.
What else?
Confession.
Confession. Prayer. I missed that. Adoration.
Other things.
Comfort, peace.
Asking for counseling.
We can maybe add to that guidance. Other
deliverance.
And you mean by that exactly?
You're in a very tight spot.
So
you ask for deliverance.
I don't know if we start to say something. You scared me. The Bible has many, many different kinds of prayer. One that I'm surprised didn't show up here that seems to be the most popular kind of prayer in the Bible is storytelling. By that, I don't mean that you create a story and just, you know, you're showing God your creativity and just to God. But it's a kind of giving of a history. History.
Just a point of question. When you're talking, can it be in connection with evangelism?
In prayer.
What I mean, well, maybe I'm not.
No,
right?
That's a good point.
Well, maybe not evangelism, but more like telling about the Jesus Christ, maybe later equipping a person to become a Christian so that they can guide the others in the world to God.
Okay. So, evangelism, you mean like praying for other people? Or you mean praying so that other people can watch and listen and learn about
Jesus?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Similarly, but with a lot of overlap, is the whole category of intercessory prayer on behalf of, if you like asking.
Okay. that's an interesting one because it changes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's different. The rules for that kind of prayer are different from the Old to the New. So that's when we have two separate themes on. One tomorrow, praying for ourselves, and one Wednesday, praying for others. A little bit of a self-examination on that. Okay. The first most popular kind of prayer in the Bible is storytelling. Often, especially with the prophets, the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, you read and you have these prayers that just go on and on and on, and they continue. And there are lots of beautiful words and many, many beautiful ways of expressing their history. But it's a prayer when you read it. It starts out, "Oh God, we come before you to ask and to share with you." And then it's this long history. And it seems almost that the people are trying to convince God that maybe God didn't know what happened. And the people are trying to, "Well, God, maybe you missed it, and we're going to explain it a little bit, and then maybe you can catch on and understand what's happening while we're asking." You know, maybe you missed it, so we're going to explain it to you, and then maybe then you'll look down and say, "Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. I didn't understand the situation was so bad before. Now I understand. Okay, I'll give you your request. No problem." But there's a lot of that. I didn't bring the videotapes today. One reason is because I forgot them upstairs and I didn't want to walk up the hill again. I'm in Chalet 10. That's the farthest one. It's on the top of that hill up there. But also most of the Bible references that we'll be using today are not from the videotapes that I have. The prophet Habakkuk. See, you don't need to be able to say them to get ordained. Which is probably really lucky for me. When I was graduating seminary and I was leaving, one of my professors was giving me a book of pronunciations, how for all the hard words in the Bible, how to say them, because he knew I had a problem with that. I said, "I'm going to a deaf church. How often do you think I'll be really voicing these words? And who will notice?" "Oh, yeah, good place for you." See, so I'm used to any interruptions, negative things. I'm used to it. I accept it in stride. So he starts out introducing God to himself. "Oh Lord, I have heard of your famousness, and I stand in awe, oh Lord, of your work. In your own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy." But then, that's how he starts it. It's a prayer. And then he goes through this whole thing, telling the story of his people. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, really, God didn't know what happened? Do you think that maybe the prophets and the people praying here need to explain the story so God will understand?
Who is listening to that prophet? The people?
Doesn't say. It says it's a prayer. It doesn't say that he's standing in front of people or just alone in a room. I guess someone is listening because someone's writing it.
I thought that God already knew, but he's gathering it together himself, getting it together.
The person who is praying. The prophet. Yeah, okay. So is that part of the prayer?
I feel that God already knows the story, but the prophet is having to tell it again, get it all together, abbreviate it, to remember for himself what has happened.
To remind himself what has happened. Okay, did you want to ask?
Yes, when you examine, it's sort of, I'm listening to yourself, when you examine it, you are examining it perhaps in a new way as you're, because you're examining it as a whole, and perhaps the conclusions you draw come from God. Mm-hmm.
Same as in worship, in church, when we have the prayers, and we voice all the prayers, we announce, or we sign all the prayers that we have. Why? God can't understand them unless we sign, voice them. The Bible says that God knows our hearts better than we ourselves. So why do we need to have a time of expressive prayer and worship? This is a question. This is not, I'm not going to just continue. I'm waiting for your responses.
I was going to say, it's God knows what's on our hearts, but sometimes we need to acknowledge it ourselves. It's our lack of knowing what's going on within ourselves.
Also, since we are on the earth and we don't see God, when we need to know that God is there, or from the ways to communicate with God. Also prayer.
Oops. That's like prayer.
That's like prayer.
Okay. I feel like when we say prayers aloud in church, when we're called on to say prayers, that we're doing it so the rest of the congregation will realize that there are problems here. And these people need their prayers.
I think, too, it's like acknowledging or admitting that I have this faith relationship with God and that I can talk with God. I can bring it out so that I'm participating in that relationship. So it's not just God knowing everything and me assuming that God's just going to take care of everything, but I'm an active partner. Mm-hmm. In that relationship. So I need to be able to say, you know, Lord, please attend to my family. My family needs so-and-so's needs, all the world's needs, peace, justice, and on and on and on and on and on. But I'm recognizing God's part in the world, too.
Okay. So
also, because when you ask, really, you're communicating. You're expressing. Expression.
Expressing or pouring out. Also,
the part of the communication is really listening and asking for God to listen, pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. Expressing. Okay. If you can we stop for one moment? If you don't pray anything, if you don't pray to God, where is our attention? Think about that. If we pray, that's part of our attention.
I think we have an illustration here that's really powerful for me, coming out of the Scandinavian heritage, to see people sign prayer reduces some inhibitions and allows some freedom in my spirit simply to go along with the movement and the motion, and it's more expressive than what I do intellectually or internally, just praying quietly. And it's exciting to see someone signing a prayer. It breaks me out of some of my inhibitions. It's good to do prayers. It's good to grammatically speak prayers. It's good to sign prayers. The dances that we've seen in just the 2 days I've been here have been incredibly helpful to see prayer visualized in a different way. And we can pray all sorts of those ways. And here is a rich experience just watching the emphasis that the various signers will put on some of the prayers. I don't know if I do it that way sometimes, and sometimes I think that's better than I could ever imagine how to say something like that. And the emphasis really touches different points for it.
Do I hear a saying then that prayer is for us? That the prayer is basically for us to get our thoughts and actions together, because God is already cognizant of what is going on?
I think that's part of it. I think that's part of the prayer. That's part of the process, part of the basis, part of the reason for prayer. It is also a focus to refocus ourselves, that we're not only inside ourselves, but that we can look through ourselves and up to God. Sometimes we're so heavily in denial of things, that we tend to just, oh God, and we have all these big, beautiful prayers, and we're praying to God, and we're just giving these words and lifting them up, but it's not from our heart, it's from our mind. And to be from our heart, then there's a lot more involved in that. There needs to be a search of ourselves to know what we're talking about, to understand what we're communicating, what's our desires in the communication, what's our relationship in the communication. When we talked about the storytelling that the prophet is doing here, well, God knows the history. God was there. You know, God knows it. And the prophet may be trying to get everything straight for his own mind, but also it's a building of community. When we pray, there's solo prayer, and then there's a corporate prayer. And when we pray together, it's not only each individual sitting in a chair praying to God. It's not a relationship to God, and then there's another relationship, and there's a relationship, and there's a relationship, and there's a relationship. It's a unified body of believers offering to God themselves, not only their thoughts, not only their history, but through sharing the prayer in a way that each person in the room can understand, that joins them all together and offers them up as an entire congregation. All of the desires, all of the abilities, all of the needs are offered up as a whole. Whole, and not just individualized. It also changes the form of the community. In our church newsletter, I'm going to use the church a lot for references, I hope you don't mind. I had a person come up to me and complain, because on the prayer list, I didn't list the people's addresses. Yes. When I would write down the names of the people that had asked or needed prayer for the week, and it changes each week, I didn't write their address. I never thought of that. And the person came up to me and says, why don't you write their addresses? How are we going to know where to visit? How are we going to know where to write letters and cards? We don't know. You need to write their addresses. It's a good idea. I never thought of it. Okay, now we're going to add the addresses into the newsletter. No problem. Because that ties them together. You know, it's one thing to sit in a room and pray, but they can go with that person, discuss their needs, discuss what's happening in their life, and then together offer it up. Okay?
Question. Can it be that when you're telling a story to God, it lets God know where you are. So that you may tell a story, it may not be the way God sees it. And so he knows where you are and where work needs to be done. Same way with praise. Praising God lets God know how we feel about him.
That's true.
As we tell that story, there's a way in which my giving voice to it, articulating it, the story takes on its own life and it has some changes and nuances that I didn't know, and then I learn more, and that may be thought of as God beginning to reply in a very subtle way. I can say the story is just factual history. I can say it with all the aspects that make it rich, and then realize that maybe the story changes a bit. And then when we do that in dialogue with the congregation, lots of exciting things can come. Absolutely fascinated by including the addresses. That's a terribly rich sense. It looks so dry now when I look in a newsletter to see this, just names, because none of the horizontal connections are made.
What about a church directory? Doesn't anyone?
Sure, it changes so much. Yeah. We're a new mission
congregation,
and it changes every month. It's different.
Well, that just also brought to mind that sometimes you're praying for people who are not in your parish. And so if you add the addresses, wow, you might just have a whole directory kind of magazine each week of the people who you pray for. Mm-hmm. That's a really beautiful notion. Thank you for sharing.
Well, someone shared it with me, so I'm giving back the favor. Okay. I want to stop with storytelling a minute and go to the next one. The second, and probably close, if not maybe a little bit more often occurring in the Bible, is the request. Prayer as a request. God, we need. God, please save me. God, I'm having a hard time now. God, I can't pay my bills this month. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. You know, that happens often. Have you listened to prayers? God, we need. God, come in. God, do, 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 do. How do you feel about that as a request?
There's a lot of danger in it. Because if you don't, if you don't get what you ask for, then you're either going to feel that you don't deserve it or that God isn't listening to you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, even though need seems like one of our biggest and most common prayers, one of the biggest problems in Christianity is the lack of understanding that we are in need of God. You know, we only approach him when, in a sense, at short-term time, when we're facing a crisis, but we need God 24 hours and we don't realize that. We really don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. We have a telephone prayer list in our church, and when somebody's in need, that phone rings, and you know, it goes on down, and you phone the next person. I've often felt that phone should also be a thank you. You know, our telephone prayer should also ring when we're thanking him.
I've noticed in my church, when we pray, prayer comes. Most of the time, the people ask, please make the person sick person well. Or they ask for the needs. But not much is said for thanks to God. What certain percent of a balance it should be. Mm-hmm.
Did you have someone over here or something? No?
My whole life is asking. I ask for direction for many things. This morning I said, should I go to a session? Should I take a walk? Make me feel.
Good choice.
He showed me. It always seems that I get an answer. Mm-hmm. I always ask for guidance and mentality. What should I do with this situation, that situation? How should I treat these people, those people? What should I do for these people? This or that? And it could be two different spectrums. Mm-hmm. And I always find the right answer. Not through me, but by my asking for it.
Okay, so you're saying that you pray often for requests, but your request is guidance, not mm-hmm. for specific needs.
Okay.
Guidance.
It's a little different.
Right.
Doesn't happen often.
I realize it. But when you ask for suggestions, my suggestions was asking for guidance, mm-hmm. but asking for simple guidance, because it's part of our life. Mm-hmm. We cannot make decisions ourselves.
It's interesting to notice in the Bible, when you're reading about prayer, does anyone know how often the word prayer, praying, happens? Praying, whatever, that root of the word happens in the Bible? 288 times. 288 times. If you're wondering, well, now that I have it on computer, so it just tells me, I don't even need to ask. It's interesting that really the only place you notice this happening is in the garden with Jesus. Jesus asking about the cup, be taking away, if it be your will. It's the only time. Everything else is a specific request.
Just another interjection. We meet people of different faiths, mm-hmm. not always Christian. And I always use the word prayer, and it fits every situation. Because everybody prays in different ways. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't pray to Jesus, but they do pray.
Mm-hmm. You had your hand
before. I was just going to make the point that in the Bible it's very specific to ask. Mm-hmm. In my own, if I take prayer and say it's very similar to the communication I have with my four children, then I want them to come to me and ask and let me know for anything that they need. Mm-hmm. But I hope that in the asking there is a balance of them being able to, in the asking, come to their own conclusion. And also see that the asking is not just asking for a handout, but it's asking for the presence, the persona in the counseling and so forth that comes with that.
I wanted to add with that, there was a boy that was brought before Jesus who had demons. Mm-hmm. And the disciples tried to put out the demons and were not successful. Do you remember the story? Mm-hmm. Happens in each of the four Gospels. Three Gospels, not in John. Sorry. And the disciples were not successful. And Jesus comes up and says, and the devils are gone. And the disciples, how'd you do that? Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, because this kind only comes out through prayer. And then Jesus went on with a story about the mustard seed and the mountains. If you have faith of the mustard seed and you pray and you say to the mountain to move, the mountain will move. The big mountain out here. But it's interesting because Mark in that substitutes prayer for faith. So that prayer becomes an act or expression of faith and not just an action of our lives. It's a part of our faith. It's an expression of our faith. And in that text, I guess you could say it's kind of a measure of our faith.
Often when I'm asking, I'm reminding myself of God's promises. Mm-hmm. God's promises of caring for me and for others, of not challenging me past the ability to endure it, you know. And especially recently in my life, I've been challenged a whole lot. And there's a, when I'm asking, I'm really saying to myself, listen to his sacred promise. You know, listen to God's words of adoption of me. You know, that I'm there, I'm in this relationship, and it is a reminder. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad at all about asking all the time. You know, it's great.
I think that that's good, though.
Yeah.
Well, I've taken a class on prayer in our church, and it changed the prayers for requests to go back into the storytelling. Mm-hmm. More of the prayers that are requests now are, I am storytelling to God, and it's in the form of, the request is in the form of, God, will you take care of this problem? Mm-hmm. And it usually seems like much later when I find out what the result of the answer is. Mm-hmm. And that's worked out very, very well.
Before I forget completely, you were saying before about having more praises in the prayers. I sometimes go to a Mennonite church. There are many different denominations I sometimes go to, but sometimes I go to the Mennonite church in Lancaster, and they have, before the service, when we normally have prayer requests, they call it praise and prayer. And they accept both and then add them to the prayers later on. So people, they say, okay, people with praises, and people say, I want to thank God for, thank God, God helped me through this hard time, I want to offer thanks, this happened in my life, and people share that also. And then they say, okay, time for requests. And then people say, have a problem in my family, explain it. I think that's a neat idea. But at the same time, I don't like the idea of separating it, because it doesn't need to be. And that's one thing that the storytelling includes. You get both sides in the storytelling. You get what has already happened. Thank you, it's happened. And then you get, but there's still left needs to be done. And how can you help me with that? Can't find my watch, it's down here. What time does this go until?
10.
Okay. Okay. Let's look at some of the others. Confession. Do you remember the story of the Pharisee who went into the temple to pray? Does anyone remember the story? The man goes into the temple and prays and says,
He's
talking to Jesus. Is this the one that was talking to Jesus? Nicodemus? Is that the one you're talking about?
Don't think so. This is the person who went into the... It's okay. There's so many stories. They get...
Nicodemus, it happens to be one of the Pharisees.
Yes. When I went to private school, sixth grade, I went to a private school. Why I think my parents were into torture at the time, I don't know. But it was a Baptist school. And they had to remember Bible verses was part of the rules. And I never could do it. So don't feel bad. No. And they ordained me anyway. Makes you question the church's ordination policy, doesn't it? And Judy's like, yes.
That's illustration of grace.
Grace?
Yeah.
From a denominational headquarters? Are you sick?
You're confessing.
I'm confessing. My life is a confession. I figure when I die, I'm going to get grace. No, I figure I got my grace at my baptism, and now I'm just living on the line, you know? How far can you push it? Confession. So this upright Pharisee, who was priest of the time, Pharisee, teacher, goes into the temple because they have their own place, because they go regularly, you know, and marches in, stands there in front of everyone. And you remember now with the theatrics, everyone remembers. Well, he said, "Oh God, thank you. I'm not like those people. I worship regularly. I give money to the church. I obey all of your laws. Thank you." Now we look at that and we say, "Oh, you odd person. You don't understand."
What? Show off.
Show off. Yeah, bragger. But understand, that was a good prayer. That man is offering thanks for God blessing him for a wonderful life. You know, there's two sides to the story. For a prayer of that time, that was a good, honest prayer. The man was honestly thankful and was not afraid to show thanks to God. How? It's true. It's not a bad person doing that. But Jesus says, bad example. Good prayer for that person, bad example for prayer. Now the good example is this person who comes in, who's been stealing money, who doesn't go to church regularly, who doesn't give money to the church, who may probably has a bad family life, you know, maybe drinks a little bit on the side. Who knows? This person comes in, I'm not going to do it. If you're waiting, it's not going to happen. This person throws themselves on the ground, spread eagle on the ground, not even raise their face to look into heaven, and says, "Oh God, I am not worthy. Forgive me because I'm a sinner." And Jesus says, that's the good example. That's the good example. All these wonderful things that God has given into our lives, they're great. But underneath it all, we're still sinners. And prayer is still a time of confession. In building our relationship with God through prayer, we need to understand our place. We are created in the image of God, but God is divine, and we are human. And many times people think, "Oh, I'm only human." But to be human is to be something that was specifically created by God. You know, God breathed life into us. It's not a bad place or a bad thing to be. It's a very holy thing to be human. But it's only when we acknowledge that we are human, then we can say, "You are God." And then we can have that relationship, and we can have the relationship with others. So prayer is also a time of confession of our humanity, of our sinfulness. Okay? Nobody's jumped in lately. Not a lot of thanking in the Bible. I mean, there is thanking for food and things like that. I need to be clear about this. The Bible, it's got a lot of words, a lot of events. Have you noticed in reading it that no one in the Bible, not one person in all of these years and years and years and years and years of history has ever gone to the bathroom? Classes when people say, "But it's not in the Bible." Well, you know, there's a lot missing in there. Things happen naturally. You don't need to write down often, you know? We don't need to read if Jesus was regular, quite honestly. Now, that may seem very disrespectful, and I'm sorry, but it's not an issue of Jesus being God. It's just not. There's a lot of things that are normal and expected just don't show up. So there's probably a lot of Thanksgiving prayer happening that we just don't read about. So to say that thanking prayers don't happen often, the same as asking and storytelling, it just means that people didn't write it down. Okay?
So, question. But, I don't know who. King David. In his poems, in his poetry, he had a lot of thanks, right?
And a lot of praise.
Praise and thanks.
And a lot of requests.
And storytelling and yeah. All the other...
A lot of requests, but if you measure, if you compare the requests and the praise to the real just thanking, the thanking is low on the list.
They weren't all David's either.
The songs are written by a number.
But just the idea of what's in them, in the Psalms. Thanking is below request and praise. A lot of the Psalms are for deliverance from his enemies. A lot of praise for the strength of battle. But there are a lot of thanks in there. That's where most of them are in the Psalms. But if you just compare it with the rest of the book, it's not a lot.
Fine, okay.
Adoration with praise, there's a lot of that. Most of it is used to introduce a request. If you need something, first you say, well, God, you know, you're really wonderful and you can do a lot of things, so... While we're talking with you, could you just happen to, and then a request of a need. Comfort and peace, again, that would really just connect with Jesus, not other places. Listening. Who listens in prayer in the Bible?
That little guy that listened and thought Elijah was
Samuel,
that's it.
Was listening for the call of God?
Yeah, and he kept saying, thought that was that Elijah was calling. Well, how about Job?
Yeah.
And he was listening. He kept listening.
And his cry was, oh God, why are you silent to me?
That's right. I'm listening.
What about Jesus on the cross? God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm waiting. No response. Deliverance, aid, a lot of requests. Evangelism, to teach other people. I think a lot of that goes with the storytelling in the Old Testament especially, because it was an oral tradition of keeping the history. A lot of the storytelling was offered as a prayer, my opinion, was offered as a prayer to God, and then people would come to the temple and watch and learn at the same time.
Well, I don't know if this is way off the point or not, but I think that like in the Acts, you know, where we see the doing, the part of thy kingdom come on earth, you know, those for me are really parts of prayer. That's prayer.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that's going to happen this week is each day has a different title, but it really is not different. Because each builds on everything else. And we're going to focus on a different part of it. But each thing is built on the same ideas. The communication with God. People can go to church, go to a private room. Remember they said, don't pray in the crowds, go to your room, go in the closet, lock the door, pull the shades, hide and pray there. There's different kinds and forms of prayer. Sometimes it's silent. One of the most enjoyable worship experiences for me, especially recently when I've had a lot of things on my mind, working through things, is to go to Quaker worship and to sit and have a room full of people sitting and listening. No one is expressing. Everyone is just sitting together and listening for God's inspiration. And just to sit with a group of people and everybody just, and you can actually feel, it's like a wave. Just, you can feel it. No, not like a wave, but like this force. Like a force, you know, like a force be with you. It's like you feel a pressure. It can be silent, it can be with other people. It doesn't need to use words. No, at the end of the week, we'll do a time of praying, expressive prayer with motion, with action, with service, with life. It doesn't need to have a form, a format. It's not necessary. Has anyone gone to a prayer vigil before? Okay. What was that like for you?
Well, when you described waves, that's what it was like. It was very, it would be sort of a building and you'd feel joyous and you'd have a range of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to like the 24-hour thing?
Yeah.
I would guess. Okay.
Even longer, but that's what I find. And in that connectedness among the people mm-hmm. was very strong. It was at first, at the beginning, it was myself praying along with all these other people. As later it progressed, it was you could really feel the connectedness of all the mass of people who were there praying. Mm-hmm.
We do several silent retreats of varying lengths. One of the intriguing things is to hear people's response to eating meals together in silence. Six people at a table and not focused on the normal conversational things and all that interaction, but just silence. Mm-hmm. The meal is much more enjoyable, I think, and most people seem to think so. And that's a rich experience in addition to the rest of the retreat.
Mm-hmm. I went up to the Portal Museum. See where you're looking through the pictures of us. I really was reading. Wow. You need to do that to become ordained. And one of the stories from the first director of Holden Village said, the board continues to come to me and say they want to build a chapel. And I told them, if they build the chapel, I'm resigning. I'm quitting. He said, this whole place is a chapel. When the people play volleyball, they're worshiping. When the people walk and hike, each of their steps is a prayer. When the people come together to eat, it is a form of worship. One of the real targets of this topic, is to see prayer not as something we do, but as a lifestyle. As itself, as a life. Same as the other gospel writers use the word faith instead of the word prayer. It's the same idea, you know, to continue and to build on that. And the time is really so. Anyone have anything to add before?
Amen.
one more reason, reason for coming here is to build my spiritual strength. Mm-hmm. It's good foundation.
Me also, so we can help each other. Thank you all for coming, and I would ask that before we all just, did you see the joke about the Lutheran church parking lot on Sunday morning? Where after the service, you know, many times, deaf church, it doesn't happen. I'm often the last person to leave, the first person to leave, because people stay at 3 in the afternoon, so I'm sorry, I gotta leave.
Yeah.
Our congregation. But often in hearing churches, by the time I go and take off my vestments, you know, my alb and everything, I take them off, I come back, and it's empty. And there'd be 400 people sitting in there, and I walk, and it's empty. And the parking lot and everything, not a soul. So before everyone just out the door, oh, the joke, a teenager, during one of these mass from the parking lot, the boy, he jumped on the hood of his car and stood up and he yelled, "Christian, start your engines!" So this is the end. Okay, before we do that, I would ask that before you leave, just take a second just to recenter yourselves so you don't just run off and drop everything, but to let it become a part of you before you go. No one's going to kick you out, but you don't need to stay, you know, what you're comfortable with.